created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Welcome to this Advent season, a season in the church calendar year, a season of waiting. We're placing ourselves amongst the people centuries ago who were waiting for a Messiah to come. But this season of Advent isn't just a matter of waiting as if we were back then and now we are in the presence of Jesus, and so we've got nothing to wait for. No, this Advent season, we also are a waiting people because we are waiting for God to return in Jesus Christ. We're waiting for Christ to come again. We're a waiting people. Yes, waiting for Christmas, waiting for all of the excitement and anticipation of the Christmas season. But our waiting goes deeper than that. In our daily lives, in the normal routines of our lives, in all of the things that you've got to arrange in your life, we are a waiting people. In the newscasts, we're a waiting people, waiting for peace in this world. In the things that go around us, we're a waiting people, waiting for hunger to cease, waiting for the violence to stop, waiting for a better world. Maybe in our personal lives, we're waiting. We're waiting for a job. We're waiting for finances to be better. We're waiting for our health to be better. We're waiting for relationships to be better. We're a waiting people. It's the waiting that Genesis 1 is actually responding to. More than simply giving us a newspaper account of how the world started, which ends up in all kinds of controversy, more than that, Genesis 1, these verses that we heard this morning, they address a waiting people. They address you and I with a word of hope. We're waiting, waiting for someday when this world will be a better place, a world filled with the abundance of life rather than a world full of fear and chaos and death. And so the creation account begins with light. Light is hope. Because light is the very condition of life itself. It's the basis for everything that exists. Light provides an indication for the source of hope. So that light, in fact, is a prominent theme throughout Scripture. You could trace that idea of light coming into the world way beyond even just the Christmas story. So let me quickly go through it. So we have light in the very first words of the Bible itself. In this Genesis 1 account of creation, light is the first thing that's created. And then as we move along, God gathers a people for himself. And in Exodus chapter 12, God wants to release his people from slavery out of Egypt. And so he sends a plague of darkness But then in Exodus 12, it says, yet all, so there was darkness everywhere. Throughout the whole day, there was darkness. And all of the Egyptian people were tremendously afraid. And then it says, yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. And so God leads them out of Egypt, and he leads them through the wilderness on towards a promised land. But how is he going to lead them? Well, he leads them. He leads them through the day in a pillar of cloud and in the nighttime with a pillar of light, a pillar of fire. And so the Israelites move on into the promised land, and their great king, King David, writes psalms celebrating the way that God acts among his people. And it's filled with all kinds of images of light. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 36, in your light, God, we see light. Psalm 119, verse 105, the familiar, your word, Lord, is a light unto my path. And then we get to Isaiah, the great prophet of light. Near the end of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah prophesies his words, which are very much reminiscent of Genesis 1, the words we heard earlier. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, just like in Genesis 1. And thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. All of Scripture moves towards this light, so that in the Christmas story is peppered with images of light. And we get the shepherds. And how do they hear about the good news that Jesus has been born? Well, they hear it at night in the midst of darkness, and angels come down and they flood the darkness with light. In Luke chapter 2. Or in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew features the bright Bethlehem star that guides the wise men into Bethlehem to worship the King of Kings. Now, the Gospel of John doesn't have a specific nativity story like Luke does, but he begins his gospel, again, very much like Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he adds, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's the message that John wants us to hear. And then in that same gospel, John recalls Jesus. We're going to take a look at this next week, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But then back in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew recalls a sermon that Jesus gives in which Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And so, in the letters to the churches, Paul talks about telling the people to live as children of the light in Ephesians chapter 5. And then all of this, the Bible begins with light. And then at the very end, in Revelation chapter 22, we get this glorious verse. There will be in the end time, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The reason the Bible keeps turning to this image of light is because from beginning to end, the Bible is a message of hope. And this Christmas, that's what we want to focus on. We want to focus on the light of the world, which is the hope that we carry with us long into this Christmas season and long after this Christmas season into the rest of our lives. If we all are awaiting people, then living for us is always an Advent season. Being alive is Advent. Far past the 4 weeks that precede Christmas, our lives are characterized by that waiting. But we're not waiting in emptiness. We're waiting with hope. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light. In a world that's filled with darkness, you see it, you hear it, you feel it. Let there be light. But the beauty of Genesis 1 is not just that it attributes the beginning of the world to God, but how it does so. Right here in these first 5 verses that we've heard. In ancient times, the beginning of the world was perceived as a battle, a clash between the goddess of light. She was always characterized as a goddess of light, a clash between the goddess of light and the god of the dark. And they were in constant battle. They were always constantly fighting. And in that fighting, other gods appeared, and hence the creation of the world was generated. And that led to this kind of thinking that we live in an either-or world, that there are two equal forces, light and dark, and they're always pitted against each other, and we never know who is going to win out, who will reign supreme, who will conquer the world, light or dark. And in fact, we carry on that tradition even today. We live in that either-or world. It's a world filled with fear. It's a world in which we wonder, will light win out? Or will the darkness win out? Will order sustain itself? Or will chaos reign? Will the good in my life give me happiness? Or will the bad drag me down? So often we live either in light or in darkness. We live the good life, we say, or we live a bad life. We live happily or we pine away in sadness. And if we live in light, it seems we're always afraid of the darkness. Two equal forces. But here's the hope, that in the Genesis account, neither the light nor the darkness are gods, but they're created and they are ordered by God himself, the one only God. He speaks a mere word at the darkness, and there's light. He addresses the darkness simply by his voice. There's no battle. There's no clash. There's no waiting to see who will win. God simply addresses the darkness, and there is light. Reminds me of the story when the disciples were with Jesus, and they went out on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus must have had a hard day or something, and he took a nap. And he was very cozy. But in the meantime, a storm rose up on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples are deathly afraid. They're thinking, they're living in this either-or world. They're thinking, either this storm's going to stop, or we're going to drown. And so they wake up Jesus in a panic. And Jesus is like, "Oh, you of little faith." And it's not because they shouldn't have been afraid of drowning. but they don't recognize who they are with. And then Jesus does something very similar to what God does here at the very beginning of the world. He speaks out to the wind, and it stops. God is the ruler of this world. And therein lies our hope. In the creation account, it's not so much that God gets rid of the darkness. It's not so much that he pits darkness against light and lets them battle it out. But rather, he simply separates light from darkness. And he calls the light day, and he calls the dark night. And thus he sets in motion time and our very existence in this world, over which he has complete control. Now, what does that matter? Well, never will formlessness be in control. Never will chaos have power. Never will darkness reign. Because God just puts forth his word, and all things are in its place. See, so often in our lives, we try to get rid of the darkness. We're taught to be afraid of it, right? Nothing good happens after midnight. But darkness fulfills a purpose. It too serves the Creator, because darkness itself is not a god. It has to serve God. And so by distinguishing darkness from light, God helps us to see light. And in the same way, when we meet disappointment in the world, it helps us to see, to fix our eyes on light and hope. I suspect that when the lights were turned down here, all eyes were caught on the little lights that appeared, right? Or maybe it was drawn to the open door because there was light over there. That's what happens in darkness. And so often in our lives, we just want to be rid of the darkness. We just want to be rid of sadness. We just want to be rid of sickness. We just want to be rid of suffering. When suffering and sickness occur, we can have the confidence that there is a healer. And when trouble overwhelms us, in the midst of it, we can find our salvation in the God who saves. When disease and death threaten us, God comes close to us and says, "Don't be afraid. I have overcome." Yes. We live in a dark world, and sometimes our own lives seem to be overwhelmed by darkness. But in the midst of that, God comes to us and says, "Don't be afraid. I have overcome." God speaks his word, and he speaks it to the darkness, and it brings forth life. And he speaks a word, and he speaks it to you and me, and it brings forth life. God spoke to Adam and Eve. They were saved from eternal darkness despite their disobedience. God spoke to Noah. And he and his family were saved because of his obedience. God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham believes the promise of God, a promise that God extends to Abraham. And Abraham hears it, and he receives it, a promise of God to be a forever God, and for Abraham's family to be a forever people. And all who have the faith like Abraham are part of Abraham's family. You and I. God speaks, to you and me. And we hear his call to live with his purpose. We're comforted, assured that the darkness no longer is a threat, but a constant reminder that throughout time, God masters everything. And so even in the darkness of this winter season, the Christmas story that we hear again and again, we hear in the context of the angel's voice saying, "Do not be afraid." It doesn't mean that Christmas is going to be all light. We can't live in constant light. Yes, there is grief in our lives. Yes, there is disappointment. Yes, there is despair. We can't pretend that it doesn't exist. We can't pretend even that God has just banished it out of our lives altogether. No, it's there. And the better for us to acknowledge it, not all the glitter of Christmas is going to dispel the darkness. But let God speak into your life. Let God speak into your world. And hear the words, "Let there be light." And know that your light has come. Put your hope in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, with all of the excitement of Christmas, we pray that this Christmas we'll fix our eyes on the light. And we acknowledge, God, that we don't want that darkness in our lives. We acknowledge that it's painful, that it hurts, that it's frustrating, that it's confusing. And we just want to be rid of it. God, give us the faith to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let him be our Savior. And may we acknowledge that again for the first time this Christmas season. Brand new, refreshed. God, in the midst of our lives, no matter what we are going through, whether it is trial or whether it's comfortableness, God, pierce the darkness yet again and let there be light. Speak your word and it will be. And may that word, born in Bethlehem, Jesus, our Savior, give us life and light to live in joy and peace and love. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.